speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, in this morning's reading from John's Gospel, we continue with a really important, central part of John's whole story, the part that we call the Bread of Life discourse. And in this whole conversation, Jesus is trying to help the people around him, including his disciples, trying to help them understand the true meaning of the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. A couple of weeks ago, I'm sure you remembered, we thought about this mighty act as not just a suspension of natural laws or an act of impressive power, but as a sign that points beyond itself into God's kingdom. It's kind of an invitation to spend a few moments with Jesus in the kingdom, to have a taste of what the kingdom is going to be like. Last week, we thought about the proper response to this kind of sign. When someone pulls off a magic trick, our proper response is probably polite or impressed applause. It's not what's going on here, clearly. Jesus says the response to what he's done, the response to what he says, is to believe in him. But it became very clear very quickly that believing in Jesus is about much more than agreeing with his policy or finding his philosophy attractive. Believing means following. Following where Jesus takes us and trusting in him with all that we have completely. That's the response he's looking for. And this week, we continue with this prolonged discourse, and now we start to get to the payoff. We begin to hear a bit about why Jesus is capable of these mighty acts and why he completely deserves such full-hearted commitment from us. And it's not about works of power. It's not about bread for the body. We know that. It's about God's bread, God's presence, coming down from heaven to give true and lasting life. The bread at the feeding lasted for an afternoon, maybe. This lasts forever. This is about something finally happening that the people around Jesus had been longing for generations. This is about God finally stepping into human history to save his people, to draw them back to him as he saved them from bondage in Egypt, drew them back to him in the desert. And that's all happening right before the people's eyes in Jesus, in his very presence, in his person. So Jesus says, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. He's not the giver of the bread, not the maker of the bread. He is the bread. And when Jesus says that, he's met with kind of a puzzled silence. You could hear the crickets chirping. Until some clever person, probably a Pharisee, speaks up and says, wait a minute, this guy isn't bread from heaven. This is Jesus from Nazareth. We know his mom and dad. I knew him when he was a little kid. And his family lives just down the road. Now, when Jesus responds to this challenge, he doesn't answer it directly. He responds in a way that continues to puzzle the people around him. They're going to have to think this through. And you know what? His response puzzles us as well. Listen to the words he says. Stop complaining. No one can come to me unless they are drawn by the Father who sent me. We hear that, we try to understand, but it's hard. It's hard for us to hear that properly with our modern ears. For us, when we hear that, it sounds exclusive and kind of arbitrary. Well, you're either drawn or you're not, so let's throw up our hands and not even try. We hear that, we want to know, okay, who's drawn and who isn't? Who's in and who's out, and how do you tell the difference? We have all kinds of cute theories about who's in and who's out, and they're all wrong, because that's not the point at all. We need to drop that who's in, who's out thinking. It's not what this is about. This is about where faith starts, where faith really comes from, and what faith really is. Faith doesn't start with us. Faith starts with God. Now, as modern Americans, we sometimes take a kind of a marketplace view of everything. And sometimes we slip into that in our religious lives as well. Well, we've got all these religious choices out in front of us. So what do we do? Well, as informed consumers, we try a few things out. We kick a few tires. We slam a few doors. We listen for things that we agree with. We search for experiences that are pleasant and fulfilling and spiritual. And we like this best. So we're Christians. Sign us up. Or it's a brand that our family has trusted for years, like Ford or Westinghouse. And so, we're Episcopalian. It's a tempting view for us, and it's wrong. Faith doesn't start with our choice or our decision or our preferences. Faith starts with a gift. And that's what Jesus is trying to get at today. Here's what I mean. Imagine you're in the hospital and a friend sends you some flowers. You look at the flowers and what do you say to yourself? Here's what you don't say. Oh, look, some fragrant, brightly pigmented globs of plant cellulose designed to attract bees for pollination. No, when you see the flowers, when you look at those flowers, you see friendship. You see concern. You see encouragement. You see love. You see what the flowers mean. Now hold that thought, but expand the vision quite a bit. We look at the world around us, and what do we see? Well, we don't just see a random collection of molecules buzzing around, obeying the laws of physics. We don't just see a collection of things that we can either eat or get eaten by. We see more. Our heart compels us to see more. We see beauty, and we see power, and providence, and gift. Fruitfulness, majesty. Those things are just as real as that other stuff. We see dimly sometimes with the eyes of our hearts. We see the glory of God. We see more. And that's a gift. Let's get this personal. I look at myself, and what do I see? Well, I see a person with a certain height, not very much, a weight, an age, and a shoe size. But I see more. I see a person who has moments of great courage and generosity, but just as often, more often, slips into selfishness and fear. I see a person who wants to be tender-hearted, but is sometimes strangely indifferent to the human suffering all around them. I look at myself, and what do I see? I see someone who longs for love and intimacy, but at the same time is capable of utterly mystifying acts of unkindness to the people who love me most. I look at myself, and what do I see? Someone created in the image of God, sure. I also see someone who once had a loving and completely open and trusting relationship with the one who made me. But somehow I've lost it. I look at myself and I see an okay God. But I see something deeper. I see a sinner who needs some redeeming. I see deeper into the meaning of who I am. And I see a human who's fallen and needs help getting up. When you look, you see the same. That kind of seeing doesn't come naturally. That kind of seeing is God breaking into our lives and giving us that gift. Seeing deeper into the reality of things. John, in the very first chapter of his book, says, the Word is light coming into the world so that we can see into ourselves, we can see into the world and see what's really going on. That's a gift. John says that light is light for all humankind. That's a gift God gives to everyone. That sense of awe at his creation. That awareness in our own hearts of our own deep need for his love, those things are planted in all our hearts by God. And they're the means he uses to draw us back to himself. That's what's really going on here, folks. We don't stand back and make an informed consumer's decision about God and deem him worthy of our worship. Jesus is telling us and those folks around him, God draws us to him in the deepest longings of our hearts. But we've got to listen. Because it all depends on how we respond to what he's planted in there. How we respond to that awareness and that longing. Because you know what? We're free to ignore it. We're free to get really, really, really busy and not even attend to the fact that it's there. We can, if we want to, explain it away as some immature, childish feature of our psyche. Or we can respond to that deeper awareness, that deeper vision in faith. We can realize that that's why Jesus is here. That's why we need to be with him. We can trust him to help us out of this mess. Sure, we're here because we've decided to be here, but there's a deeper reason. We're here because we've taken that response of faith. We're here because of something that all starts not with us, but with God. That deeper vision that comes from him. And it changes how we see the world and how we see ourselves, and it changes how we see Jesus. And this is what those people around him were just struggling to learn, to listen to those longings of their hearts so that they could look at Jesus and see not just a guy from Nazareth with dust on his shoes, but to see what we've come to see. See God the Son inviting us into his Father's kingdom. To look at Jesus and see bread that feeds for eternal life. That's what all this means. Not who's in and who's out, but who's drawing whom. We don't come to Jesus by our own power. No one does. We come because the Father draws us. In his name, amen. Now together we stand, and in the words of the Nicene Creed, we reaffirm the faith of our baptism.